Father God, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. We come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for who you are in us, and who you are through us. We thank you, God, that this is another opportunity to share your word. We thank you that this is another opportunity to fellowship with your people. We thank you, God, that we are in transition to better things. We're not transitioning down, but we're shifting up because we're built for ascension. We're built to go up. We're designed for better and higher. And so, God, we thank you for that this morning. We pray, God, that you would have your way in this time. We pray, Lord, for those amongst us who are sick or affirmed, and are infirmed, I should say. We affirm your healing for them, in fact, God. And we thank you right now that you are even now reaching out and touching their bodies, touching their minds, healing the hearts of the bereaved families amongst us as well, God. Now, Lord, have your way. Do what only you can do. Show up, show out, be you. And we'll give you the praise and glory of which you alone are worthy. With that, we say amen and amen and amen. Once again, glad to have you here this morning. Glad to be able to stand here and speak the words of God. Some folk woke up this morning and found out they didn't have a voice. Somebody woke up this morning and didn't know who they were or where they were. And so, you know, it's been on my heart for the last several weeks at least that God wants us to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, a continual, consistent attitude of gratitude. To keep us in that place and that space where we can hear from him, where we can receive from him without interference. And there's a lot of interference going on these days. Amen. Good morning, Sister Renee. Good morning, Sister Libby. Good to see you. Pastor Clark, glad to have you here. And so, yeah, there's a lot of noise going on. There's a lot of disruption and distraction. And in that kind of a setting, you can find yourself getting carried along with the crowd. Now, maybe none of you, but some of your friends, some of your relatives have been carried along with the crowd. I know they have. You know they have because you heard them talking crazy. The COVID's got them all upset. The racial unrest has got them all upset. The fact that they just can't go to their hairdresser when they want to has got them all upset. The fact that they slow with that stimulus check like that's supposed to be automatic every 2 months or something. Let me just warn y'all, by the way, this next one that you may or may not get is probably going to be the last one you see. You better get ready to trust the Lord. I'm not gloom and doom. I'm just saying. You know, you got to trust the Lord in good times and bad times. And sometimes, again, the distractions can even seem to be good. I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'm going to go here for just a quick minute. The distractions can even seem to be good distractions until they're not. Ooh, we're going to get a stimulus check. Now I'm thinking about that. Ooh. Where is my stimulus check? Ooh, I got my stimulus check. Ooh, I wonder if they're going to give me another stimulus check. Ooh, where is that stimulus check? Ooh, I wish they'd hurry up. Ooh, they changed their mind. And you're distracted from living the life that's right in front of you because you're worried about this, that, and the other. So in this time that we've got, I want us to take a deep breath, pull back in, and focus on God. Get your mind off of whatever distractions there may be and get your mind on the Lord. Sister Libby, we all guilty. We all guilty. It isn't just you. We all guilty, she said, of being distracted, of being off track. But get back on track now is the word of the Lord to us. Good morning, Sister Janice. And so I want to move quickly, as our time is short this morning, I want to move quickly to the scripture. We have been looking at the prophetic book of Malachi in the Old Testament, the very last book of the Hebrew Bible as we have it today. And we looked at a couple of things that were extremely important for us to understand right off the bat with Malachi. That is that right out the gate, he said to his people, although they were messing up, which is why he had to send his messenger. That's what Malachi means, my messenger. He had to send his messenger with a word for them because they were messing up. They were falling short. They had become distracted. They had become entangled. Watch out for that, entanglements, y'all. They had become entangled with other stuff. Yeah, somebody got that. And their priorities had shifted. Watch out when your priorities shift in such a way that God's no longer in the top three. Okay, somebody said, well, top three? Yeah, I'm being hopeful here. Really, you need to be number one, God. But sometimes you fall so far down the list. If I could just get back to the top three, man, you know, my life would turn around dramatically. Good morning, Dr. Lisa. And so we want to take stock of where we are. And we need to do that with God as our reference point, not CNN as our reference point. Come on now. MSNBC and somebody else lie to me. All them channels. We need to see what God is saying to us. We need to see what page he's on and get on that page. We need to find out what he requires of us and do that. Well, because he's God, yes. That's one reason. Certainly because he's God. But just as importantly, understand that he's doing whatever he's doing. He's saying whatever he's saying to you because he loves you. Because he has your best interest at heart. Have you ever done something? I know you have. Well, maybe not you good people, but I have done something. I knew it was not probably the best way to go. I knew it probably wasn't the best decision, but I just wanted to do it. And so I did. I did get in trouble. I reaped the consequences, First Lady, of my decision. We reap the consequences of our decision. But let me tell you what, when that happens, don't blame God. He was telling you to go left and you went right anyway. Well, it looks a little more fun over here, God. I think this is going to work out better. My friend Jimmy did it and he was okay. You ain't Jimmy. Let me hit that real quick and I'm going to move on back into the scripture. But the Lord is speaking and I hope you're hearing. One of the greatest distractions that you can face as a human being. Good morning, Sister Tyra, all the way from out in the hallway. Hallelujah. One of the greatest distractions that you can face as a human being is the distraction of comparison. I'm going to say that again. Comparison will get you in trouble. I am not Deacon Carey. If I try to be like him, try to do everything he do, I'm going to land in trouble real quick. Number one, I'm off my assignment and off my purpose because my purpose is to be me as God has designed me, as he has created me. Quit trying to be somebody you're not. Get in trouble in a hurry that way. B, Be who God has created you to be. You don't know who that is? Get with him. Ask him, Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal to me, who am I? That age-old question, right? Who am I and why am I here? What is my assignment? What's my purpose? If anyone lacks wisdom, James tells us, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to you liberally. And he won't even give you a hard time for asking. You back again? You asking me again, Chris, for some wisdom? I just gave you wisdom last week. No, James says he won't even give you a hard time about it. Come on, he says, come to me. Y'all messed up, freaked out, tripped out, disrupted, distracted. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah. Now, if your yoke is hard and your burden is heavy, you ain't doing something right here now. You're not following, or either that or Jesus is a liar. And there was silence, as there should be, because we know that ain't the case. So he's calling us back into order. He's calling us out of disorder and chaos. My God. I get to preaching up here, teaching, what have you, whatever I'm doing. And it gets good to me, I'm telling you, because I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I feel the revelation of God flowing through me. And even though I haven't got to my scripture yet, and we will, I promise, I want you to understand that this is a word right now. Don't discount what I'm saying. Good morning, Sister Joanne, Deacon Howard, how are you? Minister Sylvester, good to see you, sir. I want you to understand that order is what's called for right now. We've been out of order too long. We've been distracted for months now, for half a year and better. We've been distracted by COVID-19. We've been distracted by the uncovering of racism. I say the uncovering, it was already there. And people's responses to it. And everybody got an opinion about that as well. Well, I think you should just, you know, carry a sign and not say nothing and everything will be fine. Well, they're dragging those people off the street too. Throwing them into vehicles and tear gassing them. I said, man, I ain't even did nothing. I'm just standing here with a sign. Others throwing bricks through windows, setting stuff on fire. We know that ain't right. And yet, some part of us says, yeah, but 400 years, yeah, I might throw a brick. But here's what I'm here to tell you this morning as saints of the Most High God, as people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are called according to his purpose, I need you to stop comparing yourself to anybody else. I need you to stop being distracted by the stuff going on around you and refocus on God. Refocus on what he's telling you to do, who he's calling you to be. Refocus. I'm fixing the metal right now, okay? So I'm going to look into the camera here so y'all can see me right in my eyes, Facebook. I'm fixing the metal, so you've been warned. Some of you, except for Transformation Hour, need to turn Facebook off for a minute. Some of you need to turn off Periscope and Twitter and, Lord Jesus, TikTok. Turn it off. While you're at it, turn off CB. Oh, wow. Did I just say CBN? I meant to say CNN, but okay, Lord. Some of you need to turn off CBN too. Getting a mixed bag of seed sown out and scattered out by 65 different preachers with 67 different agendas and perspectives. And you wonder why you're confused. Well, all I do is watch Christian TV. That's your problem. Get your Bible out. Get on your knees. Seek God for yourself. Do what he told you to do last time that you still haven't done. My God, I don't know why I'm off on this. Somebody need to hear it this morning, obviously. So celebrities say I'm preaching good, so I'm going to keep going. Thank you. Refocus, y'all. Realize right off the bat, God loves you. And he has established a foundation for you upon which to stand. And when he confronts you about the fact that you're sideways, you're off, you're distracted, you're confused, don't come at him like the people of God did here in Malachi. Sometimes we asking questions when we should be shutting up and saying, yes, Lord. He says, I've loved you right off the bat. Verse 2, chapter 1, I loved you. How have you loved us? Do you really love us? Well, how come all this is going on? How come things are bad? Do you really want to know? Watch out asking God questions that you don't really want the answer to. He told the folks over in the book of Haggai, consider your ways. Stuff going wrong. You get paid and it's gone before you get home? Something wrong with that. He says it's like you putting money in a bag with holes in it. You reach in there and ain't nothing but air and lint. Have you ever got that wallet out, men, women, got your pocketbook out and you just knew you still had that? What? Oh, yeah, I had to pay for that. I forgot. It's gone. So the Lord said, I need you to consider your ways. And here he is back again in Malachi, some years after Haggai and Zechariah. The people have fell off again. What is it? This is a rhetorical question. I don't need y'all to answer me. What is it about human nature? What is it about human nature that follows us right on into our relationship with Christ, follows us right on into church? I come to church and I look around and ain't nobody here but humans. And they acting human. Lord, have mercy. So we do good for a minute and then we fall off. We do good for a minute and then we fall back. We do good for a minute and then, oh, squirrel, got distracted. We do good for a minute and then we slide. Used to call it backsliding back in the day. But today we just slide, you know, left, right, side to side. You know, we're doing that Christian electric slide, man, you know. to the left, to the right. Now freeze, just don't do nothing. What? Get off of that, Mark.
Amen, sir. Amen.
So, we saw folk acting up in these first couple of chapters of Malachi, and the Lord had to address the situation, and they want to act all crazy, want to play stupid. Please don't play stupid with God. Can I give you a little friendly advice? Don't bother. He knows. He knows already. Don't be trying to fool him. Don't be trying to act, oh, well, Lord, I didn't know. Are you sure you told me that? Are you sure that's what you meant, Jesus? Don't do that. Don't do that. You only make yourself look really, really bad. But he still loves you, though. He still loves you, though. So, yeah, put on my little wire rims today for y'all. Okay, here we go. So I want to look just really super quickly. We're going to knock out 3 and 4 today. There's only 4 chapters in this thing. And so we want to knock out chapters 3 and 4 today. Praise the name of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let me drop down quickly back to chapter 2, because we only got a little ways in there. I'm going to read fast this morning, y'all. Okay, is that good? We good? Chapter 2 of Malachi, verse number 10. Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, each against his brother, so as to profane the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, which God loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. Now, this is all old school, man. They knew better all the way back to the beginning, basically, when he calls them as a people. He says, I'm your father. You're my people. This is what we're getting ready to do. But they were always casting a wishful glance over somewhere else. Y'all know the old saying that the grass is always greener on the other side. But see, I'm a farm boy, and I have seen what happens when they go after that grass on the other side. We used to raise goats, amongst other things. You know, goats can be some hard-headed mugs. Well, I'll tell you what. But we used to raise goats, cattle and other things too. But for my example today, I'm going to use a goat. Because a goat would be up on this side of the fence, looking on the other side of the fence. And the grass looked greener over there. So he would manage to get his head through the fence to get that green grass. But guess what? He was stuck like Chuck. Couldn't get back out. And he looked stupid. When you go a whoring after other gods, King James would say, you end up looking stupid. You end up looking real stupid. And I had to come and gently, I say gently because he'd be fighting me while I'm trying to get his head back out of the fence. I'm trying to help you, fool. Quit resisting me. Yeah. Now, not like some of these officers, but quit resisting, because he was really resisting. And I finally get one horn through, and he's trying to get the other horn through and get him out, and boom, off he's gone. No thank you, no nothing. He's just, he is a goat after all. But we be sometimes just like that too. We done something real stupid, got ourselves in a mess. God gets us out of the mess after much resistance on our part. I'm talking to somebody, I don't know who. And then, whew, free at last. Thank God I'm, hey! And we gone. Off to get into some more trouble. So they had done this kind of thing. He told them, listen, I need you to do it this way. No, we're looking off. They look like more fun over there. Same stuff. Human nature. Here we are again, 2020. But I want you to get this if you don't get anything else I'm saying today. Glad you're listening, sis. I want you to get this if you don't get anything else I'm saying today, that God has an order. He has a manner. He has a way There's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is destruction. Bishop tells us all the time, or used to, go with God and he will go with you. That's a simple little thing, but you need to really hear that, because guess what? You can go with you and be with you and be by yourself. And then looking around, where is God? Right where you left him. Read, Mark. Verse 12. I grew up in the Grand Old Church, man, and they would have a brother or sister oftentimes, still do oftentimes have a brother or sister reading the scripture while the preacher preaching. He'd get so far along in his sermon, read. They better have that next verse ready. They go a little further, and he'd talk a little more. Read. So I'm talking to myself this morning. Read, Mark, read. So verse number 12. Good morning, Carrie Jones. How you doing? Verse number 12. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob everyone who awakes and answers, or who presents an offering of the Lord of hosts. He said, I'm tired of this mess. And this is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. You doing it sideways. I done told you I got a way that I need this done. And the way I need this done, and the reason that I'm having it done this way, is because your best interest is what I have in mind. But you come up with a bright idea. You like Ford, you got a better idea, and you want to do it your way. And then when it doesn't work out, here you are at the altar crying and weeping. Oh God, I've served you faithfully. Shut up. You might have showed up. But that's not it. That's not all of it anyway. How are you showing up? Who are you when you show up? Who are you being? Can I meddle some more? I'm going to. Who are you showing up as at Walmart? Uh-oh. Oh, now listen, Mark. Church is one thing. Walmart's a, no. No, not really. I hope you're hearing this, Mark. Oh, I am. I'm listening. Who are you showing up as? Are you doing as God has instructed and commanded you to do? And if not, don't get all weepy-eyed when the stuff don't work out. Groaning and moaning at the altar. And he's like, you really need to get up, bro. You just need to get up. You know you ain't doing what I said. Now, does that sound hard? I hope not, because, I mean, that's just, you know. Listen, if Sister Looney said, listen, I need you to go over here and do X, Y, Z for me, and I'm going to pay you $100 for that. But instead, I go over and do X, Y, Z for Sister Linda. And then I come back to Sister Looney, I say, where's my $100? And she's like, excuse me? Somebody told me you were overworking for Sister Linda. Well, she needed help. But why are you coming to me for the money? Why should I pay you and you didn't do what I said? You are you getting the picture?
Yes, sir.
So this is what they were doing, right? So, verse 14, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth. Uh-oh. Against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. You know, the Lord can meddle when he wants to. And because I'm standing here as his oracle today, I'm a meddle. I've been meddling. I'm going to meddle some more. See, the thing doesn't just affect who you are at church, how you are at church. When you get off everywhere. And so they had stopped bringing the correct offerings to God. They had stopped doing things the way he had prescribed. They were half-hearted, if that, if there was even showing up at all. So much so that even the priest was tired of coming to church because stuff was such a mess. But God says, oh yeah, I'm a witness. It follows you home too. You're treating your wife all kinds of stupid. Misusing and abusing the people who love you. Breaking covenant with them. Is God concerned about your marriage relationship? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is God concerned about how you treating other folk, especially those of your own household? Was that Charlie Rich used to sing? Nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. Somebody know. And God knows. All right. I'm really meddling right now, but I'm going to get off of that, okay? Lord, help us is right, sister. I'm going to get off of that. Men, women, but especially men, treat her right. Act right. Straighten up. Straighten up. God is watching. He's a witness. Listen, I hope you're never in the situation. You're up in court and they're trying to get you. And they bring in an expert witness. This guy got like six PhDs, two MDs, and I know everything. And when he testifies, all 12 of the jurors say, there it is. There it is. Y'all heard him. I don't care what you said. He said it had to have gone down this way. So we're returning a guilty verdict. God is an expert witness. He's the most expert witness there is. You don't want him testifying against you. Let me move on. I'm trying to get to three. I'm going to do it too. Verse 15. But no one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit. And let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, God of Israel. And him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Now, y'all know, I don't even have time to go into the social issues regarding relationships that we have here in the United States of America. Good morning, Pastor Gwen. Divorce is just off the charts. Off the charts. And perhaps even a greater number of people don't bother to get married in the first place. I'm really out here on a limb, y'all. I hope y'all are gonna help me get back, because it's shaky out here. Now listen, I'm not the guy who's saying, oh, marriage solves everything. I've been married for 24 years, and believe me, trust and believe, it doesn't solve everything. That's even if you got a good woman like Nina Smart Dixon, it still don't solve everything.
Good plan.
Safe. But watch out, y'all. Watch out. Watch out before you get into the relationship. He says, listen to your spirit. Listen to your spirit. And after you're in the relationship, you get ready to treat them all kinds of crazy. He said, listen to your spirit, and you won't do this. He said, but no one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. If you're listening to your spirit man, listening to the Holy Spirit, you won't do that. Less people going to divorce court. Less children born out of wedlock. You say, oh man, he's going old school. Listen, I'm just going to say this. We got, you know, and I am a father in a blended family. I got hers, mine, ours. Okay? And that's the way a lot of families are in America these days. If you got a family at all. So I understand. We already in the situation, man. With the horses at the barn, right? He way down in the valley somewhere, okay? But I am telling you, for us to get back to any semblance of on-trackness, we need to listen to the Spirit of God. We need to heed the word of the Lord. We need to get back to doing things His way. You need to course correct, America. You need to course correct, church.
All right.
Let me finish up. I ain't got but about 10 minutes. Somebody said, I'm counting eight. I'm going to take two more. Okay, besides that. So set your timer for 10. Here we go. 17, verse of chapter 2. You've wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, how have we wearied him? Here are your questions again. Do you really want to know? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he who delights in them, or where is the God of justice? You got questions for God. You got accusations for God. You got judgments for God. Us judge God? Yeah, all day long. Where is God? Yeah. What? How come people getting away with everything? Look like Watch out for them questions. He got an answer for you. Sometimes that answer starts in your bathroom mirror. You looking at the guy across from you, the gal across from you, and you hear the voice of the Lord start to answer the question, and you're like, what? Oh, Lord. So, what should we do, God? What's to do about this situation while we're in transition back to where we belong? We talked last time about going back to the future. Okay, here we are. Now, transition, because even after you get back to where you belong, there's transition. There's adjustment. Come on, somebody. Chapter 3, and I'm moving quickly. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi. That's the priesthood. Starting at the church, starting with the ministers. Lord, have mercy. And refine them like gold and silver so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. He said, look, it's going to be rough for a minute. You're going to feel the fire. You're going to feel the heat, but it's for your good. I'm trying to straighten things out. I need to purify. I need to clean up some stuff that has attached itself to you. That's a word for somebody right there.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to clean up some stuff that has attached itself to you. Ain't got no business hanging on you.
Hallelujah.
Sickness, go in Jesus' name. Yeah, my God, I got to pull it back in here. Woo! I felt the fire of God right there. He's purifying. He's cleansing. So that when you come to the altar, so that when you come to present before him, you can present with a pure heart. You can present righteously. So that he can do for you all that he wants to do for you already. My God, today. He said, sit still and take it. It's for your good now. I'm going somewhere. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those who swear falsely and against those who oppress the wage earners. Watch out, bosses. The widow and the orphan and those who turn, listen, and those who turn aside the alien. I ain't got time to get political now, but we treat immigrants bad in this country. And God says, I don't like it. He said, I ain't never liked it. He said, I'm coming to straighten up some stuff. I'm coming to clean some stuff up. Listen, if you're running for office, trying to get a position somewhere, you really need to read this. Because this is the kind of politician you need to be when you get in office, if you're expecting the favor of the Lord to be upon you. He's giving you a list of stuff he don't want you doing. Do the opposite of this and you're going to be all right. Do the opposite of this and you'll be doing a good job. You'll be pleasing to the Lord. That's whether you're running a house or running the House of Representatives. Come on, Mark. All right. Verse 6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Well, who did? I, the Lord, do not change. It wasn't me. It wasn't me who changed. Lord, God have mercy. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. He said, I don't change. I'm still the God of love and mercy. Otherwise, you'd have been burnt to a crisp long ago. The shenanigans you've been pulling, I'd have just toasted you. But that's not me. That's not who I am. That's not how this works. And aren't you glad? Verse 7, from the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from my statutes and not kept them. Return to me. Hear the word of the Lord, Deliverance Temple. Return to me. Mark Dixon, hear the word of the Lord. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you're still playing crazy. How shall we return? Seriously? Did you miss the first 2.5 chapters here? Seriously? Oh, here we go. I got to hit this one before we go. Y'all know I had to do this. You can't go to Malachi and not hit Malachi 3:8. You can't do it. You just can't do it. You got to hit that. And we feel all kinds of some ways about it, but you got to do it, right? So let me just do this and we're going to be done, y'all. This would probably be a good place to end, although I'm trying to get to 4 real quick. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Heck yes. Let me just go ahead and answer that. Yet you are robbing me, but you say, still got crazy questions. How are we robbing you, God? In tithes and offerings. Now listen, let me just read. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. He said, I ain't just talking to one person, I ain't just talking to a small group, all of y'all are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. But he didn't stop there. Verse 11, he said, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Let me be super quick. I ain't got time to do some big tithes and offerings message. That's not what I'm here for. But I want you to understand, back to verse 2, chapter 1, he loves you. That was word 1. I love you. I love you. What I'm telling you, everything after this verse here is because I love you. So he gets here to 3 and 8 and he says, let me ask you a question. Y'all full of questions. Let me ask you one. Will a man rob God? He said, y'all robbing me. How we robbed you? So he lays it out for him. Now, I said I ain't got time, so I'm not going to take time. Y'all ask me some other time about that. Is tithes for today? Is offerings for today? Do we have to? See, y'all missing the point. Asking them, do I dot the I or cross the T? Or should I? Is it okay if I leave the I undotted? Is it still okay? You done missed the whole sentence. You done missed the whole paragraph. You done missed the whole theme of the book. Because you focused on, can I get away with? Your attitude is off already. Get a revelation. You get a revelation, you may be asking some real good questions of the Lord. Instead of these crazy ones like this, you might be like, Lord, how can I live off of 10% and give the rest away? And the Lord said, well, you're going to need to make a couple of hundred thousand in order to do that. Okay, let's do that then, Lord. Okay. And here you living off of 10, 20% and giving the rest away and living good. See, that's a whole other mindset, though. Then, do I dot the I? Do I have to give exactly to the 10% to the penny? Is it all right if I round it down? Down? Is that? Meanwhile, you ain't giving it all. You ain't giving nothing. Because you're trying to, you know. Well, I didn't know if it was 10%, 9.5%. 10.1, I didn't know if an offering was extra on top of that, or so I just didn't give nothing.
I'm waiting on the Lord.
Did you wait on the Lord to eat? No, I'm eating every day.
Oh, my.
Okay. Jesus talks about the tithe. We get on over into Paul. And he's like, look, I ain't even fooling with the tithes. He's like, I'm talking about giving. Give it all. Give everything. He's like, I'm all about it. He's writing the Corinthians. He's like, yeah. He's telling the Philippians, man, I love you guys. You just like givers. He ain't even bothered. He ain't stuck on 10%. He's like, let's just give. Let's see what happens. How much can we give? Yeah. All right. Y'all done had enough of that. And I'm over time. So I'll leave y'all to read the rest of this, but I wanted to get to at least that part. God says, hey, I'm trying to do some things, basically. And I got you in mind. Verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3. Then those who feared the Lord spoke one to another, and the Lord gave attention. Isn't it good when God gives you some attention? And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. See, God doesn't overlook anything you do for him. He doesn't look anything over that you do in his name. And they will be mine, says the Lord. On that day that I prepare my own possession, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Things had gotten so bad, see, they was calling evil good and good evil. They didn't know who's up, who's down, who's all around, what's up, what's good, what's bad. We are in a situation similarly today. Inside and outside of the church, you don't know what's real. You don't know who, you know. Go to some church and they talking crazy and, you know, you get better uplift watching Oprah or something. And then you're like, well, wait a minute, but then I heard something about her. And then you're just all over the map. God says, check it out. I'm getting ready to straighten some things out and you'll know who's righteous and who's not. You won't have a doubt about it. You won't have to guess. I got time to read four. It's only six verses, y'all. Will you give me that? Give me six verses. I'm just going to read them. Here we go. And we're done. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and the evildoer. I know some arrogant folk right now. Anyway, I'm going to keep moving. November's coming, Jesus. They'll be like the chaff. And the day, Sister Linda got that here, okay. They'll be like the chaff, and the day is coming that will set them ablaze, says the Lord. Oh my God. So that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Now that's some burning, y'all. I've seen some stuff burn, but I'm talking about root nor branch. You ain't nothing left. That's a thorough burning. That's a thorough cleansing he's doing. But for you who fear my name, say, that's me. That's me. Oh, y'all, come on now. I'm going to give you one more chance. For you who fear his name, say, that's me.
That's me.
Do you fear his name? Do you reverence the Lord? That's the list you want to be on. That's the side you want to be on. He says, for those folks, hallelujah. My name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go forth and skip like calves from the stall. Happiness, y'all. Y'all be singing Pharrell and stuff. Because I'm happy. You will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I'm preparing, says the Lord. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinance which I commanded him from Horeb in Israel, verse 5 and 6, finishing up here. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. God sends a messenger. He sends a clarion call before he shows up to straighten all this stuff out. That's what I'm doing now. I hope you're hearing me. I hope you're listening really, really well. Before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, last verse, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. We don't want to be on that side of the fence, y'all. We want to be on the restoration side of things. We want to be transitioning into restoration, transitioning into the future that he has prepared for us. As I close this session and this series today, I hope you've got something out of it. I hope that you are meeting transition with eyes wide open. I hope that you are ready for the refiner's fire. It doesn't come to kill you. It comes to make you better. It doesn't come to kill you or destroy you. It comes to purify you. It comes to disattach and disengage all the mess that doesn't belong in your life anyway. The stuff that has attached itself illegally to you. So sickness, disease, poverty must cease. They got to go. It's time to do kingdom. It's time to transition into the victory that God has for us. It's time for the church to stand up and lead forth in this chaotic time to show what justice really looks like, to show what peace really looks like, to show what unity really looks like, to show what health and healing really look like. I hope you're up for it, church. I hope you're up for it. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks for joining us. And I will see you with a brand new series on next week. Bye-bye.
Excellent.
God bless you, folks. Thank you.